This is Puck Year, New Zealand's hockey podcast with hosts Logan Swinkles and Joe Drury, bringing you the best stories and interviews from down under.
With 31 seconds to go, Radcliffe walking in traffic. Jake Radcliffe, he nails it. The Bears win in overtime.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Puck Year, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. Of course, no Joe this week, but I do have a very special guest, as you'll see, Jake Radcliffe from the Sydney Bears. Thanks for coming.
Thank you for having me.
It's probably been a long time coming, one that we haven't really been able to do because obviously you're overseas in the States playing in college, but you're here in Sydney now. First things first, I'm sure there's a few Admirals fans out there probably a little disappointed you didn't return to play during the summer break for you. So was the NZHL an option for you? Like, were you considering that at all when you were coming back?
I wasn't really kind of thinking too much about it. I was just really not planning on playing at all again like I did last off season, and then kind of the opportunity just came about with the Bears, and it just seemed like a pretty good fit. So I thought it was just a really good chance and opportunity, so I just went for it.
And so, yeah, obviously, yeah, you're with the Bears now in the Australian League. So what attracted you to them?
They came really close to winning it all last year, and, you know, they just seemed like a really good group of guys, and just seemed like a really good place to play. So I think it was a pretty easy choice in the end, and I'm enjoying it a lot so far, so it's been good.
Yeah, I mean, you've settled in pretty well, I have to say, into the Australian game. You've got 3 goals and 9 assists, 12, so there's 12 points in 7 games. 4 of those came in your game against the Perth Thunder, which actually was my commentary debut, which was pretty cool. So that worked out really well. What's it been like coming into like a new team environment like that with the, I guess, the expectations that you're like this, you know, the hot new Kiwi import?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have too many kind of expectations or too much pressure on myself, but it's been good. It's been easy. I've been given a pretty good opportunity playing with, you know, some of our high-level imports and on special teams and stuff like that. So I think I just try to go out there and have fun, and it's been working pretty good so far.
How much of a help has it been having, you know, a fellow Kiwi like Aston Brooks around as well?
Yeah, it's been huge. I get on pretty well with Brooksy, playing kind of with and against him in New Zealand as well. So I was pretty pumped that he's on the squad as well.
And so with the Bears, like, how have they set you up? Like, you know, how are they taking care of you?
Yeah, it's good. I'm staying out kind of Western Sydney way with all the other overseas guys in a house out there. And so that's going good. And I'm actually working at the rink as well for my job. So that's been interesting, learning how to drive the Zamboni and stuff like that. But I mean, it's getting better. So yeah, it's been good.
Did you ever drive a Zamboni before that?
No, never. This was my first taste of it, and it was a lot harder than you'd think at first, but getting used to it now.
Yeah. And it's because you're playing out at Macquarie Ice Rink, which for those that don't know, is actually inside a shopping mall. So it's quite an interesting layout because you've got a McDonald's right there over one of the goals, and then there's like a KFC and a food court. And, you know, you can actually sort of peek in on the games there.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting setup. I think the rink is kind of more geared towards public skating and stuff like that. But it's a nice facility, the rink itself. No glass, which is kind of tough. You see that in a few rinks here, but I mean, it's good enough.
Yeah. I did notice that because when I was up, I was sort of up in the, they set up the commentary box, I guess you'd call it, up in the VIP area. And the VIPs, man, the Sydney Bears look after them well. They're getting drinks, they're getting burgers from like their sponsor Grill coming to them, and it was just making me super hungry while I'm trying to work, which is insane. And then, yeah, so you mentioned like no glass, there's just netting in some places. Is there like, you know, stray pucks and stuff, so you got to watch out for a little bit?
Yeah, there's, for the most part, they stay in, but I guess the right before I got here, the window to the office behind the goal was broken. A puck had somehow made it through the netting. So I guess it can happen from time to time, but for the most part, it stays in play.
And with the Bears, like, how often are you guys training per week?
We train every other Tuesday and every Thursday. So pretty similar to the New Zealand league kind of schedule.
Yeah. And what's you've sort of been with the team a little bit now. You know, do the boys have a nickname for you yet? Because I keep thinking that like the red-headed wonder is a good option for you.
I don't know about that. No, nothing yet. They just kind of call me Jake or Ratty.
Ratty.
That's pretty much it.
There's one nickname that we have to bring up. I mentioned to you before we started recording that we got a few questions submitted from your former teammates at the Admirals.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
Yeah. But one is we've sort of been noticing that your teammates at Westfield State are calling you Roy. What's the story behind that?
That's just a little acronym. It stands for Rookie of the Year. So they kind of, because I was fortunate enough to win that for my conference in the state, so the boys would give me a hard time, and that just kind of stuck, because it rolls off the tongue pretty easy. So, and then the guys from back in Auckland started picking up on it as well, so, yeah.
Because, yeah, I was talking to Dale Harrop last night, and we were sort of wondering, I was like, the obvious answer is Rookie of the Year, but again, I was like, Redhead of the Year, like.
No, I guess that works too, eh? But, no, yeah.
And then, so obviously, with being playing with the Bears now for a few games, aside from, say, the period links, which we'll get to, because they're a little bit different to what people back home in New Zealand are used to or that watch any hockey, to be honest, what are some noticeable differences you found so far from playing in the AIHL versus the NZIHL?
It's pretty similar in a sense of kind of every team relies heavily on their imports and stuff like that. I think it's just maybe a little more skill than, you know, the imports are coming from, you know, slightly better leagues in overseas and stuff like that. So I think overall it's just kind of a slightly higher level, but there's definitely a lot of similarities too.
Would you say, I mean, obviously the skill level might be like a little bit higher and stuff, but was it a bit of adjustment for you there with, say, the AHL? They play two periods of 15 minutes and then the third period is the 20. And then I believe up until this season, they didn't have an overtime. They just went straight to a shootout.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I learned that last weekend, which I kind of floored me because I was like, you guys didn't do overtime? Because Eric Brooke, who I was doing the commentary with, was like, oh, this is the first overtime we've had at Macquarie. I was like, you're kidding. Wow. But yeah, is it kind of like a bit of adjustment there, having to play those kind of like shorter periods?
Yeah, I did think it would be coming in, but to be honest, we kind of run, you know, we only run four defensemen and three lines of forward, but we kind of rotate it like 1-2, 1-3, 1-2-3. So I don't think my ice time has kind of changed a lot from normal. It's just condensed into a shorter period, which is sometimes it's tough. You got to recover, quickly between shifts, but I'm kind of used to it by now, so.
Yeah. And I actually noticed during that game against the Thunder, you were taking a large portion of the faceoffs, both, you know, on the offensive and in defensive zone. So I feel like our Kiwi fans probably more know you as a winger. So is that like an aspect of your game that you've been working on lately? Or like, do you think you'd consider yourself more of a center than a winger these days?
Yeah, I've kind of played both. I played center through most of my junior career, and then at college this year, they moved me to the wing. And then I've been kind of going back and forth with the Bears. Now we've just got a new import forward and Adam, this guy, he'll be playing this weekend and he's playing center now. So I'll be back on the wing this weekend. But yeah, this past weekend I was just playing center for whatever reason and taking a lot of draws, especially in that Perth game. We were down. So we kind of just were rolling two lines there for the second half of the game. So
yeah, you were down 4-1 going into the third period, and then all of a sudden it was like the Sydney Bears just found this breath of life, and you scored a couple of quick goals. You forced the Perth Thunder to take a timeout, but then you guys just didn't look back from there on out. So like, what was being said in that locker room to sort of spur on that moment?
You know, not a ton. It wasn't like a crazy speech or anything. We just kind of knew that we could tell they were starting to slow down after the, you know, they flew all the way out from Perth that morning. And I think we were just kind of pretty complacent. We just kind of thought it was going to happen at the start there. And obviously they capitalized on that. But we just kind of said enough was enough. And, you know, we knew we just had to come out those first 5 minutes, which we did. And we got a couple early. And then I think you could see from then on kind of we were in their zone most of the time. And we just kind of had all the possession. And we kind of knew if we kept pushing, it was going to come through for us, which it did in the end, luckily.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was a great introduction to the Sydney Bears for myself. But then, like, sort of going back a few years now to your time in the NZHL, you're still only 21, but how old were you when you made your NZHL debut for the Red Devils?
I think I was 15 my first year with the Red Devils. That was 2013, yeah.
And what is it like for, say, basically a kid to come into a senior league like that with some pretty big guys?
Yeah, it was interesting for sure. I mean, it was good. My first weekend in the league actually was down, and it was the Queenstown away trip, which is kind of a good way to start. And we wasn't getting a ton of ice back then. I remember one of my first shifts, Braden Lee just killed me, and that was kind of a welcome to the league moment. But it was a good season from then on. There was actually Chris Eden ended up breaking his collarbone that year, and Anatoly gave me a shot with the two Swedes on the first line for a good couple of games there too. So I kind of got thrown in the fire a little bit, but it was a lot of fun.
I actually do have a question submitted to us by not an Admiral, but another former Red Devil, Jackson Lane, who's also playing the AHL now with the Melbourne Mustangs. Jackson asks, how influential was Stefan Speck on your player development during those early years?
I'm glad he brought him up, actually, Speck. Early coach of mine, my youth days. I never got to play with him, which is a shame. But it was a lot of fun getting to be coached by him. I'd say he was more my off ice mentor. I love Speck. He's a great guy.
So he's kind of like teaching you, I guess, how to conduct yourself, both on and off the ice.
Yeah, you go with that.
Okay, because I'll bring that up again later. Because one thing that I noticed from your stat line with the with the Owls over in the NCAA is that you had zero penalty minutes, which is cool. We'll get to that soon. But you've obviously been traveling a lot for your hockey as you develop into the player you're becoming now. Like I said, you're still only 21. But let's start with you playing double and triple A junior hockey in Canada. I believe between 2013 and 2015. What was that experience like playing so far away from home at such a young age?
Yeah, I mean, it was... it really wasn't that big of a deal moving away, like homesickness wise or anything. I mean, I was just, I was really obviously dedicated to it. And, you know, I was just more excited to be able to go somewhere where I could skate every day as opposed to, you know, it's tough to get ice in New Zealand sometimes. So it was awesome. And it was at like a hockey school there. So you don't really have to worry about a ton logistically. Everything's right there. You just kind of wake up and go to practice and go to class and stuff like that. So, I mean, it was an awesome experience. And, I'd do it the same all over again if I could.
Yeah, what is it? I mean, because like in Canada, it's just like when I lived there, you just get so sucked into like the hockey culture, and I guess obviously it must be even greater for, you know, someone like you coming over there.
No, yeah, it was perfect situation. I loved my time there for sure.
And then from then, like 2016 was quite a busy season for you as well. You played in Wilkes-Barre Scranton Knights. Now, I've been to some parts of Pennsylvania before, but not around that area. And as people probably know it from, you know, The Office. So is there like references to The Office or like Dunder Mifflin around the place at all?
Not really. I didn't even know that till after I left there. I never watched The Office US. I've only seen the UK version. I didn't know that at all, actually, while I was there.
You've never seen the US version of The Office?
I mean, clips here and there, but I've never actually... Never actually watched it.
So how was it there, like playing in Wilkes-Barre?
Yeah, it was good. I really enjoyed my time there as well. Ended up running into kind of a funny USA hockey rule that, because I was playing U18, which is still considered youth hockey, and I was finished with high school though at that point. So it turns out you had to have a student visa as an international to be able to play in those leagues. So I ended up having to leave mid-season, and that's when I went to South Shore because that was a junior league. So yeah.
And so. Yeah, how did that, like, obviously, how did it come about that you picked South Shore in the USPHL?
I'd been talking when I was at school in Canada still, I had an advisor, a family advisor, they call it. It's kind of like sort of what an agent is a little bit. Mm. And he had a lot of contacts over in the States, which is where I wanted to go because I wanted to play college eventually. So South Shore was one of the options originally too, and Wilkes-Barre as well. So I was still kind of in contact with that coach. And then when I needed somewhere else to go, it just kind of fell into place pretty well.
And then, because you mentioned, like, with the ages and everything. So going from Mind blank for a second. Go from Wilkes-Barre Scranton to South Shore. What kind of jump in skill level was there?
Yeah, that was a big one too, going from minor hockey to junior hockey, playing against just older and bigger guys. You know, I wouldn't say the skill level was that much of a jump, but definitely the speed and the size of all the guys you were playing against, which was a big adjustment right away. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously you were there for like two seasons, and it's based, so the South Shore Kings are based in Foxborough, Massachusetts.
That's right.
Yeah. Really hoping you can't hear that. You guys might have seen on our Instagram earlier, I posted on our Instagram story, there's like painters around where I live and they're like sanding the place like crazy. So if you hear that, my apologies. But yeah, so Foxborough is probably best known for being the home of the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots. After spending two seasons there before going to Westfield, would you say you support the Patriots or do you have like another NFL team?
No, I'm absolutely a Patriots fan. I didn't really know much at all about the NFL before moving to the States. And then, yeah, being in Foxborough and then now at Westfield, which is still in Massachusetts. So everyone's crazy for, you know, Tom Brady and the Pats. So just ended up watching pretty much most of their games because that's what everyone does, you know, on a Sunday or whatever. So, yeah, I've definitely become a fan. It's pretty easy to when they win all the time. But
that's true. Have you ever had, like, the opportunity to go to one of the games yet?
I have not got to a game. They've a lot of times they would conflict with our games as well when we played. And, you know, tickets are pretty expensive. Obviously, they're, you know, they're a good team. So everyone wants to go to those ones. But hopefully at some point I'll get there.
Yeah. While I was sort of browsing through like your sort of career stats and everything on Elite Prospects, I did notice that for the majority of like your young career to date, you know, you've been a beyond a point per game player for the most part, or at least close to that figure. So what do you think you would accredit to making that level of consistency possible?
I mean, I think just going back to growing up, we were lucky in Christchurch and kind of throughout New Zealand for my generation of players. We had a lot of good coaches that have come from Europe and overseas and then based themselves in New Zealand. Like, you know, when I was growing up in Christchurch, we had Janos, Kazala, Anatoly, those guys. They had Chuba up in Auckland, and they did a really good job coaching all of us youngsters, kind of hitting us in the right direction, giving us the right skill set and stuff to move forward. So, yeah.
It's quite a good group there, actually, because there's you, obviously there's you, there's Chris Eden, there's Dale Harris. I'm sure there's way more, but there's a lot of good products of Canterbury that have sort of come out in recent years. So do you still, even though obviously, you know, living in the States and everything, do you still get to, I guess, keep in touch with what's happening with like New Zealand hockey and sort of follow it?
Yeah, I still follow along. It's pretty easy because when I'm in the States, it's the summer in New Zealand. So I'm normally back in this side of the world when the season's happening. So it's pretty easy to follow along, and they got the, you know, you guys put the highlights together and everything like that, so it's pretty easy to keep track of what's happening.
One thing, obviously, you know, you've played with the Admirals before. Your dad Tim is like a key figure in, you know, New Zealand ice hockey for many years, and you could see on his face how much meant to him when the Admirals finally won the Burgle Cup last year. What was your reaction like when that happened, being a former Admiral yourself?
Yeah, I mean, that was incredible to watch. I'd actually just, I just got to the States for the start of college last year, and it was like 3 a.m, but I was just, with the time difference, I was still up. This was for game 2 in Queenstown, so I watched it all. I watched the whole stream, and, you know, I mean, it was just, it was incredible to watch, especially for knowing how much it means to all those guys, especially, you know, you see the older guys like Blake and Gary and Roxy who have been there from the start. And, you know, the Admirals have had kind of a lot of ups and a lot of down years too throughout the years. So for them, all that whole group to finally get it done, I mean, I was so happy and excited watching them all get to lift the cup. And, you know, my dad too as well. Obviously, he was really excited for them. So it was, that was a fun one to watch.
There was a really cool moment in that game last weekend against the Thunder when you scored that game-winning goal in overtime. Your dad was actually sitting in the corner watching, and you scored, and it was like you like seeked him out. Yeah. You saw him. You guys did a little high-five through the netting because there is no glass. Yeah. You did a high-five through the netting. Them and they're like, even, you know, just like, you know, knowing your dad and everything, like that was just such a cool moment to see.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, I wasn't kind of planning on anything like that, but I knew he was standing there, and I just happened to be hitting in that direction as I scored, so that was a cool moment as well. So I was really happy for that. I know he was excited watching it as well. So that was a fun one. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, just how much, you know, obviously you sort of hear about hockey players and like how much parents sort of sacrifice to, you know, make their kids' dreams possible. Like how much have your parents done, like, you know, for your career to the point, you know, to this point, like, could you even put a measure, I guess, on, you know, what they've done for you?
No, I mean, it's tough to put into words. They've sacrificed so much for me to be where I am, and they've been so good through it all. You know, I mean, leaving home when I was 13 when I first moved to Canada, so that's kind of tough for a lot of parents, especially my mom, to kind of send their kid overseas at that age. But you know, they knew I really wanted it bad, so they kind of let me go and do that. And yeah, they've just given up so much for me to be able to have those opportunities, because you know, it's not cheap going overseas and stuff as well. So there's all that as well. And there was no pressure as well at, you know, at any point. You know, they always made sure I was having fun. And, you know, they said, you know, if you're ever not having fun, you know, there's no pressure to keep going or anything. But, you know, I've always enjoyed it. So it's been, yeah, it's been really good. And I definitely owe it all to them.
That's actually really good advice. If you, yeah, like, don't, you know, don't just play hockey for the sake of playing it. Play it because you enjoy it. I guess they could go for a lot of things, really. But now, of course, you're in the States. You're at University of the Westfield State, where you're playing for the Owls. By all accounts, pretty impressive freshman year for you. Made even more awesome by the fact that you're first Kiwi male to play any level of NCAA. What was that first year experience like for you playing collegiate hockey?
Yeah, I mean, the whole year, it was unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's pretty cliche, but they say, you know, you go to college and the friends you make there are some of the best that you'll have for life. So, you know, I'm already looking forward. I can't wait to get back at it for year two and everything like that. But it was a really good first year. We kind of, as a team, you know, we did a lot better than everyone kind of in the league thought we would. You know, we had a tough going playoffs there, but I think we got a lot of guys coming back. We only had a couple key guys graduate. So we still have a pretty good window here over the next couple of years to, you know, hopefully do something special.
And then, because obviously you're going straight back as soon as the BS season's over, you're on a plane over there. Does Grace Harrison's success in the NCAA kind of serve as any kind of, I guess, inspiration to you as another Kiwi hockey player that you could come into such a competitive environment like that and thrive?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially what she's done as well at the, I mean, the Division I level, that's, you know, that's kind of more impressive for sure. I mean, and especially with her, you know, she had kind of some crazy stats there as well. So yeah, it was, you know, and even the last couple off seasons as well, sometimes she'd come out, you know, for like the lunchtime skates at Avondale, and, you know, I'd be shooting on her and stuff as well. So yeah, it was awesome to see what she was able to do.
Yeah, and I mean, no small feat yourself. You were awarded the, as we said earlier, Roy Rookie of the Year by the Massachusetts Conference that Westfield plays in. 12 goals, 10 assists, that's 22 points in 26 games. What do you think needs to happen for you to consider your sophomore year a success?
I just think pretty much similar kind of production levels, hopefully ramp it up a bit, but I try not to get too carried away with, you know, point totals or anything like that. But I think if I can just kind of work on my game still and the team can have as much success as we did, that's kind of the biggest thing for me. We were able to finish second in the conference, in the regular season this year, which gets you a bye, to a home semifinal. So if we can finish in the top two again, that's kind of going to be the main goal for us. Yeah.
Nice. And then I alluded to it earlier in that stat line as well. Yeah, you had zero penalty minutes. So because with the year that you had, if it was like the NHL, I mean, I think you'd be a pretty strong contender for an award like, you know, the Lady Byng Memorial. So is playing to a high standard like that, you know, while demonstrating, you know, the kind of sportsmanship that you do, is that something that's important to your game?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that was kind of weird this year that I ended up not getting any. I think normally you'd take at least a couple, but some of the other guys on the team kind of noticed that, and they were joking that I kind of like to stay away from the corners and the hard areas a little bit. But yeah, no, I definitely like to kind of try to play good 200-foot game at both ends of the rink as well, and try to kind of just be able to use my body position and stuff like that as well to be able to avoid taking penalties and all that. So yeah.
Speaking of, I guess, like the 200-foot game, who are some prominent hockey players that you'd say, like, you'd model your game after when you're growing up?
Growing up, I always kind of liked, always liked the playmaking centers. Like Nick Backstrom with the Capitals was, he was my favorite player, growing up and still is. I love watching him play. It's kind of small, like Krejci's a guy I love to watch as well. And yeah, just kind of cinnamon who kind of, just play a good consistent game and make plays. Yeah.
What about the greatest center that New Zealand has ever produced? Dale Harrop.
Of course, when I was a when I was just a young kid and a fan of the Red Devils, Dale was always someone to watch. Around the rank, he's got a bit of a mean streak to him as well, just agitating. He loves mouthing off at anyone that he can. So it was he was definitely entertaining to watch and then get to play with over the years as well.
I don't know how he can mouth people off, and half the time his like mouth guard is hanging out of his mouth.
Yeah, I know. He loves chewing on that thing, but.
Probably because I guess people that don't know, like, you see the word goat thrown around a bit with Dale. That's not a self-appointed title. I remember this, I think it was the first week of the Ice Blacks training camp in Colorado. Anatoly actually labeled him that. So obviously there's something there, like the whole, like that Canterbury crew. It's obviously pretty tight.
Yeah, and I heard that story about from Anatoly this year. I thought that was pretty funny, and I know that would... just annoy Dale to no end as well, that everyone was kind of latched on with that for the rest of the trip. So I was pretty happy to hear that.
It continues today. If there was, say, one Kiwi player you could have on your line with you at Westfield, who would it be and why?
That's a good question. Well, ignoring the age thing of college, I'd probably have to go with...
Stomping you.
Yeah, that is a good one. maybe someone like Chris Eden. I got to play with him a little bit when I was in Christchurch, and he's just a natural shooter, goal scorer. So I thought we had pretty good chemistry for the short time that we got to play together. Yeah, maybe him.
I feel like, you know, say if you wound the clock back a little bit and he took that opportunity, you know, if it sort of came to him like it did for you, he would tear it up in NCAA.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I mean, he had some really good success playing, overseas as well, juniors and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, he definitely would have had a good college career.
What about, okay, so you sort of mentioned Chris. What about a younger player that is of that sort of college age?
I think Fraser Ellis would be a guy as well that would be, he'd be a lot of fun to play with, and he'd definitely be a lot of fun to have at school and around the locker room too. I wouldn't mind having him overseas with me.
Yeah, he does seem like quite a character. Definitely enjoy hanging around with him during, like, you know, Ice Blacks camp and everything. You know, it's still early days, but, you know, where do you see your hockey career heading beyond Westfield? You know, what kind of goals are you setting for yourself here?
Yeah, I mean, I try to just take it kind of year by year and not think too far ahead, but I mean, I definitely would love to be able to continue playing after Westfield for hopefully as long as I can. You know, maybe overseas in Europe or something like that. I mean, just ultimately be able to kind of travel where I can, see how far hockey can take me. I mean, it's already doing that a little bit, getting the chance to play here in Sydney as well. So it's all been pretty good. And yeah, hopefully I'll try to keep it going for a couple of years after school.
Because I guess, you know, up until this point, aside from obviously Australia and New Zealand, you've spent basically your hockey career playing in North America. So would you say that your game probably more aligns to that North American style versus the European style? Or
yeah, I would think so. Just naturally growing up or playing over there and in all the small rinks and stuff like that. But these days there's not too much of a difference. I mean, you see it kind of at the highest level. It's a lot more of a skilled game overall, which is, I mean, it suits me, I think. So that's been good, yeah.
Yeah, take some of that physicality.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, because obviously education is just as important... What are you studying at Westfield?
I haven't quite narrowed it down yet. I'm listed as a business major, but that's pretty broad. You can still, I still have to figure out what concentration I'm doing and stuff like that. So I'll try to narrow that down this year while I'm at school.
Now, while you are committed to Westfield State, I assume that probably means you wouldn't be available for the Ice Blacks during like double HF windows?
Yeah, it's kind of tough timing-wise for all that, but... I mean, I don't want to rule anything out, but yeah, just kind of still unsure at this point as to what would happen. It's a shame too. I mean, I think it's always fun being able to do that and represent your country is always an honor.
Mm.
And I really enjoyed the couple tours that I was able to do with the Ice Blacks, but yeah, it just kind of wasn't able to work out this year. And I guess we'll see moving forward what the situation is. But
I mean, dude, you're only 21.
So. Yeah, there's a lot of time left.
Yeah. You know, some dudes sort of in that team. I mean, look at Andy Hay. Yeah, he's still going strong.
Exactly. It's been, it's funny. He was, he was my coach. And the 1 year that I played under 16s for New Zealand, he was the coach. And then, so it was kind of cool to end up playing. My rookie year, I actually, he picked me in the roommate draft for the Ice Blacks too. So that was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Now, with the Ice Blacks, actually, no, before we get in more into the Ice Blacks, for those that don't know, what is the kind of run of the NCAA season? You know, like, when does it run till?
It starts pretty late, actually, because they kind of have to fit in over in the States. They have, like, their fall sports, the winter sports, and then their spring sports. So, you know, when I play junior hockey, it's like a 50-game season, and it pretty much starts right from early September, runs through to kind of March type kind of area. But with college, you know, I have to be back at school, you know, as soon as the season finishes here with the Bears, but we don't actually start playing until kind of like mid to late October. And it runs through to, pretty much early March as well. So it's a shorter season, 25 to 30 games.
Mm. And then, so with the Ice Blacks, I guess one thing that's kind of been the focus for a while is I've been stuck in, you know, Division 2B since 2013. Come pretty close with, you know, silver medals and bronze medals galore. Realistically, how far off from that next tier of international hockey do you see New Zealand being?
I mean, I think we're right there as it is. Like you said, we've been so close the last couple of years. And, you know, when you look at the roster that we've had on paper for the last, you know, kind of four or five tournaments, it's been... I mean, I think we could have got it done any year. It's just, you know, it always comes down to that one game against, you know, the team that is always the team that's come down and they're the one that you have to beat. So I think any of these years it could have gone our way. It just hasn't, unfortunately. And I think, we're right there. I mean, it's going to be tough now, too, with Israel kind of pulling off the upset. So now you've got Iceland still in the division and then Belgium, right, coming down.
Yeah, Belgium coming down. Iceland were tough as well.
Yeah, next year's going to be definitely a tough one, but I mean, I don't doubt that that, you know, we have the kind of the team to do it.
And then, of course, I guess everyone likes to know a good origin story. So, you know, what got you into hockey in the first place? Like, what attracted you to the sport?
I was just playing just in the street that I grew up in Christchurch. It was kind of a little quiet street off to the side, and we had a couple kids my age, and we would all kind of just rollerblade around, and then somehow awesome. There was someone had some hockey sticks floating around, so we were playing like inline hockey in the street, and you know, I really enjoyed it probably a lot more than everyone else. And at first I kind of asked my parents to check into what kind of if there was inline hockey in Christchurch or what the deal with that was, and you know, they kind of looked into it. There wasn't really anything, but they said there's an ice rink, so if you want to give that a go. So I said kind of transferred onto the ice and just never looked back.
That's awesome. I love that, like, playing inline hockey in the streets. It feels more like a California hockey kind of story.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Now, away from the rink or, you know, and the classroom as well, is there anything you like to do to, you know, just to relax and get your mind off things?
I don't really have a ton of hobbies other than anything to do with...
You just probably don't have a ton of time.
Playing or watching hockey, yeah. No, I mean, no, when I'm back home or... You know, not playing. I just try to hang out with friends and stuff like that. Nothing too crazy. Try to hit the golf course when I can, but it's tough.
There you go.
going from winner to winner all the time as well. But yeah,
I love that. It's funny how just like so many hockey players sort of like gravitate towards golf as well. Well, that's actually. I mean, that's kind of it from my questions. I do have questions, as I alluded to earlier, from Dale Harrop and Fraser Ellis. I've sort of nixed the curly ones. There were a couple.
Yeah.
You know, we all know what Dale and Fraser are like, but Dale really wants to know, what is one thing you learned while rooming with him?
While rooming with him? I mean, I don't really want to say anything hockey related, but definitely a couple life lessons in there. Maybe a little too inappropriate for this podcast, but... it was a lot of fun, I'll say, rooming with him. I was lucky to do it 2 years. My last 2 years that I played for the Icebergs, I was able to room with him. So that was a lot of fun.
I feel like there was probably a few inappropriate ones here. So we'll skip to Fraser wants to know, what hair gel do you use?
I don't know if I should say, but none. I don't really wash my hair that often. It's just kind of a natural grease that keeps it in place. But I wear hats most of the time anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
For some reason, they want to know who your favorite Swarm player is.
Ooh, favorite Swarm player.
And you can't say Rick Perry because he's jumped from the Olympics to the Swarm.
That would have. You know what? I don't want to. I mean, I'm still friends with a lot of those guys. I don't really want to offend anyone. I'll go with Polozov. I was lucky enough to play on a line with him while I was with Iceplex too.
Sasha's great.
And he was, especially growing up, whenever they would come to Christchurch, he was kind of the guy to watch. So I think that's a pretty good answer.
I love seeing on Polozov's Instagram now, all the like videos of his little daughter like picking up hockey.
Yeah,
so cool to see.
Yeah, no, that is. I've been following him as well. That's fun.
And then one last one. It's funny because I'm talking to Kahu Joyce later this weekend as well for another episode of the podcast. Do you think you would have fared better in a fight against Alex Gauthier than he did?
No, I probably would have had a pretty similar result.
Yeah, it's been not really a fight, are
you? Yeah, no, I'm yet to have kind of a full one-on-one and one-on-one fight. And if I do, I definitely won't pick it against a guy like that.
Yeah. There you have it. Obviously, Sydney Bears, still got a few games left. We're just past the halfway point with the All-Star break. How much, how awesome would it be for you to sort of come in there and help lead them, I guess, to winning it all when it came so close last year?
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I think there's no doubt we definitely have the team that can pull it off this year as well. And like I was telling you before, we just signed a couple new guys as well. So they'll be in action this weekend. So I think we got a really good team here, especially with the second half, we're kind of trending upwards. And interesting with this league, the playoff format, it's just one game elimination, the semi and the final. So anything can happen. But I definitely think we're capable of going all the way.
Plus, you got a pretty, you've got an awesome backup goalie, but you've got arguably an even better startup goalie, Kimlin as well, the Australian goalie.
Yeah, I mean, that's huge for us to not have to use an import spot on a goalie like a lot of teams do. Kim is unreal. He gives us a chance to win every night. He's such a competitor as well. He's always dialed in and, seems to always, come up with a big save when we need it. So, yeah, it's been good playing with him.
No, it's a bit of a, I guess, a sad time in New Zealand hockey. I just kind of want to wrap this up quickly with a mention to Chaba Kershko-Margos Sr., wrapping up his time in the Admirals. He's heading back home to Hungary. Do you have anything that you'd want to say to him?
Just thank you. I mean, he's been good for, he's been great for me personally the last couple of years. And like I said, all those young players growing up in Auckland, through the U13s and the U16s, coaching all those guys for a lot of years. And, like me, especially the last couple of years when I would be back home, even though I wasn't playing for the Admirals, he would still come down and volunteer his time just to help me work on my skating. The ice was free during the day at Avondale, so I would go down and skate, and he'd come and work on some drills with me with my power skating. And, he didn't have to do that at all, but, he would, because he just loves to make a difference and help guys like that. And he's another one, too, that last year, really happy that he was able to, coach that team that was able to win the cup last year, too. And now that he's leaving, it's pretty fitting that he was able to get one in his last full season.
So, well, we'll leave it at that. Thank you so much, Jake, for taking the time to even come in and chat with us. All the best for the rest of the season with the Sydney Bears and, of course, your next year with Westfield.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Puck Yeah! It's New Zealand's home for hockey. Subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, or with your favourite podcast app for the latest episodes. Follow the team on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PuckYearNZ. And for your fix of hockey news, go to puckyear.nz.